As humans, we're naturally driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. When I was looking to hire someone, it was so slow and overwhelming. I wish I had used Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform, with over 350 million global monthly visitors according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. And Indeed doesn't just help you hire faster. 93% of employers agree Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites, according to a recent Indeed survey. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/podcast. That's Indeed.com/podcast. Terms and conditions apply.
There's some places there where they're quite happy to have, you know, a very small bedroom in a much larger house because they then get a better lifestyle. Like, it's the experience, the lifestyle experience.
This is Property Investory, where we talk to successful property investors to find out more about their stories, mindset, and strategies. I'm Tyrone Shum, and in this episode, we're back with Sam McLean and Mark Edwards, who run the successful magazine called Elite Agent. As investors, we learn about the commercial properties they bought, the advantages of commercial property, current trends in the property market, and much, much more. Once Edwards restructured his and McLean's superannuation funds, it was time to figure out what they would do with the money.
Let's investigate this self-managed super fund and what we can actually do with it. Not going to the casino and putting it all on black is not the first thing to get scratched from the list.
Can't do that for another 15 years or so anyway.
You never know, you could be lucky.
But then worked out what we could and couldn't do with the SMSF and the opportunity to be able to. And this was at the time when we were rapidly outgrowing the very posh laundry for the business. And the opportunity then looking into it and said, okay, well, as a business, you can invest your SMSF into a commercial property as long as you are not using it as a principal place of residence. You know, as a business that you own can essentially pay rent back into your own super fund, which is so cool.
Since he was able to funnel the money from the self-managed super fund into the business and in turn into a commercial property, he goes on to tell us about the property he bought.
So bought this old rundown ex-physiotherapy rooms, what is a B-grade building in the heart of North Sydney, where it's all being developed.
It's like the worst building in the best street.
It is the worst house in the best street, but this is the worst building in the best part of North Sydney.
It's the second worst building, actually. I reckon the one next door is worse.
But the thing is, this is the last sort of parcel of land in the local development plan, the LDP, in, you know, sort of CBD perspectives, is usually always a high point and the rest of the city falls away from that high
point.
That's right. Yep. So we are the high point in according to the LDP, and it's like Stuart Little's place in North Sydney. So we've got all these big multinational, or the, you know, the big developments, you know, the Dexars and the multiplexes and Aqualands all going up around us, and there's this little old building in North Sydney that is 100% strata. So trying to get everyone to agree to things, I think it took around about 8 months to agree to a hand railing out the front the other day. So that, you know, sort of winning. But on the flip side, there needs to be something that's very attractive to the owners in order to make a decision to move on. And I think that day will come that, you know, sort of this will be a very good investment from a floor plate perspective. Because it will be a, you know, 40, 50 story building here one day. But on the flip side is that what we've done from purchasing the, you know, what was a relatively modest and cheap suite in the building, for what we've done with relatively little capital to renovate it, has dramatically improved the price of the actual property itself.
To make it a commercial space, Edwards and McLean added things to the property.
I think it was a three-room physiotherapy studio.
70s called and wanted their carpet back.
And the wood panelling.
Yeah.
And the half a dozen bar fridges.
No, we kept the bar fridges.
Why would you not?
Just walking into this place and opening all the myriad of cupboards, it was just surprising to see what we found in this place. But similarly, you know, so one thing I have enjoyed is strapping on the tool belt and getting the hands dirty and working out ways in which we can maximize the asset in which we've got. Done it before in a residential property, but this is, you know, so probably the most rewarding and exciting ones that we've done together.
That's amazing. And how long has that taken so far?
We bought this place 3.5 years ago. It was probably about a, you know, sort of 4-week renovation. It was definitely, you know, sort of uninhabitable from a business perspective when we bought it. But now it's a very open, bright, light, creative space that sort of gives Sam and her team the ability to be able to collaborate and be, you know, sort of very considered with what you do.
After purchasing a suite, McLean and Edwards were able to create the kind of spaces necessary for them to do their work.
Well, this was last year's project as we outgrew next door. So I made an offer to the owner of this particular suite and said, all right, do you mind if we knock a hole in the wall? And we'll did a similar fit out here. So this, where we're sitting now, is our podcast studio. Outside is our video studio with multiple, you know, sort of 75-inch TVs on the wall. So try and create that TV studio style look.
They actually work.
They do. It's going to be good for cricket.
And the Melbourne Cup.
But yeah, look, it's very fit for purpose what we need.
We've actually had a bit of a side hustle that we probably need to take a bit more advantage of, which is other people come in and use this space from time to time. I mean, the WeWork thing and the shared services thing, it's not bad if you wanted to go in and just use an office, but this is purposely soundproofed. And you know, what you don't see out there at the moment is there's a green screen out there that comes down and the lights on the roof go on with the switch, so we could be ready, we could be set up to do any sort of video or any sort of podcast here within about 5-10 minutes.
Because of the suite being a junction to other rooms, being considerate of other residents was important for Edwards and McLean.
That is like sort of the challenge of the WeWork side of things, is that they're not going to sort of let you, you know, sort of staple up
drag
a green
cameras around.
Drag cameras around, yeah. And yeah, so because being in that shared environment, it's you've got to be very careful of, you know, sort of disruption to other people that are,
yes,
paying the same sort of money as you are.
For the future, Edwards and McLean are leaning far more towards commercial when it comes to property purchases, and it gives us the reasons as to why this is the case.
We see the ups and downs of the residential market every day. I think one of the things to actually keep, all right, if we're investing our own money, I think the easy way to be able to get into property cycle would be through commercial, because you can potentially get in with a much smaller footprint and therefore less dollars. I think there's a couple of trends that people should be looking at. You know, sort of, you know, fractional investment is going to be very interesting to see that continue to growth, you know, like your brick X's and so forth.
Yep.
But the build to rent side of things is going to be very interesting to look at, like your Hamlets and those organisations that are building purpose-built properties, that's going to be creating community where people are going to be choosing where to live and how to live, as opposed to going, I need to have, you know, the quarter acre block with the house on it.
I see a trend towards tribes, you know, because of affordability, like, you know, so if young people, like, let's talk, well, millennials are last decade, let's talk Generation Z, who are, you know, like, starting now to, some of them have finished school. My daughter's just finished school. So they're now starting to think about, well, what am I going to do? Where am I going to go to university? Where am I going to live? You know, like I do see that she's a creative type. She's probably going to want to live somewhere that other people like her live. And, you know, like, and I look at this trend towards co-living and, you know, I think it's just a matter of time, really. Like, you look at places like Los Angeles and stuff like that, and actors, for example, they can't afford the rent on an apartment on their own, or they can't afford to buy an apartment on their own. And there's some places there where they're quite happy to have, you know, a very small bedroom in a much larger house, because they then get a better lifestyle. Like, it's the experience of the lifestyle experience.
Edwards tells us about property that he bought that bore resemblance to communal or co-living spaces that is now starting to become the trend.
Well, it's interesting, actually. One of the properties I bought was just after the Sydney Olympics, and it was just this place in Lidcombe. This little village of probably about 30-odd homes was built as the media centre for the Olympics. So there were these five-bedroom houses, five-bedroom normal houses, you know, your McMansion sizes. But they'd all been separated into, I think the place we ended up buying was about 11-bedroom house, you know, because it had all temporary gyprock walls down the middle of them. And they're all wired to the hilt, so there was Ethernet wiring everywhere because they were actually using the kitchen as a broadcast studio for updates and so forth. But it's very similar in that it had beautiful, open, entertaining and community areas because there were 10 people living in this house.
Yeah.
So they had to have these big open areas that people could actually congregate in. And it was exactly what you're saying there. It's like sort of smaller bedrooms, but an area where people can actually come together and do things that they need to do together. So I could see your daughter as being, you know, sort of living with like-minded artistic folk. Whereas you can probably see a similar trait for musos. It's almost like the dormitory revisited.
McLean tells us about another trend in the property market that is starting to appear.
Well, the other thing I think trending is going to be interesting to watch in the next couple of years is really the experience economy. Like, you know, and this is where places like, well, you know, like Airbnb, you can see that they're now getting into things like, you know, restaurants and experiences and things like that. So if, you know, you've got a property that is kitted, like it wouldn't surprise me to see themed investments, themed homes where people actually want to go, oh, I want to go and live like they did in the 60s, or I want to go and live like they did in the 80s. Like, yeah. I think that those, you know, people more and more are looking for experiences rather than just four walls.
That's a pretty cool concept. It's like, you know, if you want to live in Bali and experience those kind of Bali living styles, people can bring them here and create that same lifestyle, but rent it, you know.
Yep.
And you could even almost have it by the ocean to create that kind of look, except you don't have to be traveling all the way to Bali, for example.
Or a place down in, you know, sort of in a foodie district, you know, if it's a big, you know, sort of Italian, it like, you know, if you want to do something in Leichhardt, for example, you'd do a big Italian thing, or down in Lygon Street, you do it as a big, you know, Greek themed place. So I think you're right. There's going to be a lot more catering to people's whims of the moment rather than saying, I'm going to try and create something that's going to be attractive for everyone.
Coming up after the break, hear about the kinds of skills and knowledge Edward's deemed important when it comes to investing.
I'm here to learn the skills as to what is going to be, you know, sort of a good investment, and what are going to be the right bones in the property to be able to look for in order to change it from, you know, a three-bedroom, one-bathroom to a four-bedroom, two-and-a-half-bathroom.
The importance of having the right kind of leverage.
But then the risk is with people investing now with, you know, record low interest rates, leveraging yourself to the hilt in order to buy something that you, if it's an investment property, may not have the tenant there, or interest rates will change.
Another exciting trend in the property market.
Interestingly, like there's another trend that I've seen that, you know, might interest some of your listeners too, is that, you know, there are property managers out there now who are guaranteeing rent.
All that and more coming up after the break. I'm Tyrone Shum, and you're listening to Property Investory. For Edwards, learning the right skills and gaining the correct knowledge when it comes to investing is all important.
I renovated my first property, and before doing that, decided to do a couple of renovation seminars. At the beginning, it was a bit of a rah-rah sort of thing, but...
That dies down after a while.
It does. If you go into something that you're actually looking to get some tangible learning out of, you can pretty much achieve that if you go into it with the right mindset. So I went into it saying, all right, well, I'm not here for the quick win. I'm here to learn the skills as to what is going to be, you know, sort of a good investment, and what are going to be the right bones in the property to be able to look for in order to change it from, you know, a three-bedroom, one-bathroom to a four-bedroom, two-and-a-half-bathroom. Have you got the ability to be able... Does the property have the scope or capacity to make it dual occupancy, or, you know, have a granny flat on the the property. So doing that due diligence in the actual property is probably one of the biggest things that I've learned about. As Sam says, you know, so getting good financial advice, particularly around the tricky subject of investing with your self-managed super fund.
Mm.
They're probably the two main things, and a healthy love of Bunnings.
Edward shares with us some of the resources in book form he has used over the course of his career.
I tend to find, you know, we were saying before about, you know, so having a journal or a book that's got some, you know, sort of tried and methods is always valuable. For me, it was more around the art of construction, not necessarily the art of investing. I think I've probably made a couple of very lucky moment in time investments that if I had been, you know, sort of a few months before or later, then it may not have, you know, sort of achieved the same results at the time. But for myself, my knowledge is usually derived from I've got a problem.
How do I solve it?
And I border on the line, on the cusp of analysis paralysis. And Sam at times says, can you just make a decision?
He's cheaty from the good place.
Get on with it.
As I can see, Elite Agent, for example, was probably a problem. You didn't want to be in your laundry anymore. So decide, okay, it's time to look for property.
So this was an answer to a pressing problem we had. I mean, over the days of the simple life of without the pressures of a larger business. But, you know, along with that comes its joys.
When it comes to commercial property, Edwards tells us what he and McLean paid for their first one.
For our first property, and this was literally only 3 years ago, it was a 50 square metre property in the heart of North Sydney CBD for $230,000.
Wow, it's very affordable when you think about it.
Absolutely. But then, yeah, so it was not somewhere you would want to go and work. It was sort of something that we...
I don't know, Chanel are in this building.
Yeah.
I like being around them.
This is the corporate head office of Chanel at the moment, so in Australia. But yeah, so it's being able to see past the, oh my God, can we possibly ever do anything with this.
That's the thing. You want to find the most ugliest property in the best street. Yep. And if you know that there's potential, which there usually is.
But also be aware of what the cost and effort is going to be.
Mm-hmm.
If you're not, you know, sort of somebody who's who's capable or willing to put the effort in, then you're going to need to be paying somebody else to do it. And commercial refit out and renovation is
quite a costly exercise. Yeah.
We looked at having someone else to do it, and I think it cost 10 times. Like that's the order of magnitude. We're just kind of lucky that you're quite handy.
Able to swing a tool belt.
Yeah. and enjoy it. Yeah.
If they met themselves 10 years ago, Edwards and McLean would have some sage advice for themselves.
I would have said, get in early, get on the property ladder early.
Buy and hold. That's probably one of the biggest things is, you know, I'm assuming, Sam, if you had met yourself, you know, so when you got the redundancy payout, put that money in.
The property I could afford was very close to Victoria Road, very close to the Gladesville Bridge. And at the time I was thinking, well, I'm having a baby, that's going to be really noisy. And I would just say irrelevant, like given where we've gone the last 10 years, I would say to myself, just do it. Yeah, don't worry about the noise. You'll live with the noise.
When it comes to investments, being aware of what leverage you have is key.
One of the main things is to make wise investments, but don't overstretch yourself because there are going to be times when the market's going to change. If you had been in the situation in the late 80s where you were able to afford to invest at, you know, high teens in the in interest rates, that would have been a great time to invest.
Definitely.
Because no one would have thought that interest rates will go into the 20s. But then the risk is with people investing now with, you know, record low interest rates, leveraging yourself to the hilt in order to buy something that you, if it's an investment property, you may not have the tenant there, or interest rates will change. They will change at some point.
Yes.
So it's just a matter of being able to make sure that you've got the right level of leverage.
Absolutely. So it's all about due diligence, speaking to the right accountants, you know, get your team around you and ensuring that you're making the best decision you can as well.
And be aware as to how much effort you want to put into it.
McLean dives in with another fascinating trend that is popping up on the property market, this time in the US.
Interestingly, like there's another trend that I've seen that, you know, might interest some of your listeners too, is that, you know, there are property managers out there now who are guaranteeing rent. Like,
I've heard about that too, yeah.
Yeah, so I'll make a couple of intros for you. But yeah, so, you know, in the US they have iBuyers, which is they'll make you a cash offer on your property.
Yeah.
based on what they think it's worth. And it's usually a bit lower than what an agent might get. But now that's coming into renting as well. So, and basically what will happen is whoever it is, the agent or the manager, will come along and say, well, I think I can get X amount of rent for X period and you'll get guaranteed rent. Mm-hmm. There's a few places around that are doing that. And that's, I think, as a differentiating point, that's something that's, you know, that we're really seeing trend around the place at the moment too, really popular.
It's a very good concept because, I mean, the agents know, for example, a tenant does break a lease within that period that they've quoted on. They know that they've got a database anyway, so they're kind of already backing themselves up with that. Whereas if you're just going out there and looking for a tenant yourself, different story. You know, you might have to wait for a few weeks because you got to wait for the tenants to come in.
Yeah.
So it's a different business, I guess, game altogether.
And I suppose it's also having a property that's going to attract to a wider audience as opposed to having something that is going to be very unique.
On their property journey, there are some things McLean and Edwards are particularly looking forward to.
I think it's a really exciting time to be in the real estate industry, you know, and particularly with some of the trends that I've mentioned, as in, you know, people want to subscribe to things now. And so I think if you've invested in the assets, like as in property, and there's other things that you could invest in as well, like so that you could provide a full experience for somebody. There are different models sort of popping up everywhere, and I can't see exactly where it's going, but I think there's never been a more exciting time to be owning property because of the different, like it's not just like I want to rent something from you anymore. There is all sorts of other ways that you can get creative around that, and so as an investor you can really, I guess, tailor your experience or tailor, you know, who you want to target, or, you know, like what tribes are out there, and maybe, you know, sweat other assets, not just property. Like, so I think that this is a, you know, from my perspective, from our readers' perspective, you know, margins are getting squeezed on the traditional property management side. There has never been a more exciting time to actually look around and look up and go, okay, well, I can help this investor with, you know, getting themselves into the next property, or I can, you know, help them make more margin on this by bolting on some sort of experience onto the rental experience. I think it's only a matter of time before people start getting really creative like that.
In terms of getting on the bandwagon of trends of co-living spaces and the experience economy, Edwards and McLean also want to try their hand at doing that too.
I think it's also taking lead from other successful business models as well. I would like to see ourselves as potentially redoing what we saw in that property in from the old Olympic Village, and creating little mini WeWork environments. So mini, in the event that we reinvest in other commercial property, I think it's going to be, you know, so the shared services environment, because everybody's an entrepreneur these days and not everybody wants to work from home. I think that's something that's going to be very attractive. The experience economy is going to be also very attractive, particularly for the short-term rentals. So opportunity to be able to buy multiple properties and have them on the short-term rental, you know, your Airbnbs or whatever. Because I think, you know, so the increased returns that you get out of there has got the opportunity to be able to pay back the asset a lot quicker and then leverage the value that the equity and the property. I mean, we've stayed at a couple of very nice palatial mansions up in the Gold Coast when we go up there for some conferences. So we take the whole team up. Instead of buying 8 hotel rooms, we rent out an 8-bedroom house for a week. Much cheaper from our side of things. When you walk in there, you go,
wow,
this is awesome. But then you go back the next year to try and rent the same house. They've taken it off the market because they've paid it off. They're now sort of using that as equity to continue their growth of other large properties. And what they're doing is they're just buying old places on the canals up on the Gold Coast and Broad Beach waters, knocking them down, building these beautiful places, renting them out for 12, 18 months. And then
paying it off
and then using that asset, either selling it and then buying two more. And they've got a fantastic model that they use. But it's short-term play with a lot of upside as long as you've got the product that people want to purchase or people want to use.
Very smart. I love that strategy.
I think that's where he really wants to be, actually, as soon as we sell the business.
I'd like to say a huge thank you to Samantha McLean and Mark Edwards for joining us on this episode of Property Investory. If you'd like to find out more about their journey, head over to propertyinvestory.com.
As humans, we're naturally driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. When I was looking to hire someone, it was so slow and overwhelming. I wish I had used Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform, with over 350 million global monthly visitors according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. And Indeed doesn't just help you hire faster. 93% of employers agree Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites, according to a recent Indeed survey. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/podcast. That's Indeed.com/podcast. Terms and conditions apply.